Morning, everyone. Hey, great to be here. Happy that we got to have some fun and play some games. For charades, I know you always put duct tape on someone's mouth. Will and AJ probably just wanted some peace and quiet. We can't blame them for that. It's great to see you guys here today. If you guys can, turn in your Bibles to Matthew 8, and we're going to start in verse 1. Matthew 8, verse 1. And while you turn there, just got kind of a question. I'll tell a couple stories. What do you think is the dirtiest you've ever been? Like just physically dirty, like the most grimy and mucky. And sorry, guys, I forgot. If you guys need a Bible, stick your hands up, and we have people walking around. They'll give you a Bible. But what do you think is the dirtiest that you've ever been? I know for me that there were some football practices where we were practicing in the mud, and I was just caked in mud and dirt afterwards. I know when I was in the military, we once had a field exercise, and we were out in the field for 18 days. And so I went 18 days without a shower. When I came back, that was the best shower of my entire life. So that's pretty dirty. But still, I learned this week that there was a guy that went 60 years without taking a shower. 60 years. That is disgusting. And because he thought soap and water was going to make him sick. And then he took a shower and he passed away about 5 months later. So the moral of the story is not that we don't like soap and water. Here, I want you to know, junior high, we take the authoritative stance that showers and deodorant are phenomenal. Specifically for this half of the room, you guys always need to take showers and put on deodorant. But physically, some people get pretty dirty. But would it surprise you guys to hear that God cared a lot about Israel being physically clean? He gave them a lot of rules on how they're supposed to stay clean. He gave them rules to talk about how to make their clothes and wash them, what animals they could eat and how they had to go about eating them, how to dispose of trash and waste. And he even talked to them about what to do if someone got sick because he didn't want a sick person to make other people sick. God cared about Israel being clean. And in Israel, if something or someone got dirty enough, that God would have all of Israel declare that thing or person as unclean. If something was unclean, it wasn't allowed to be inside your house or even inside the city, that it had to go outside the city and no one could touch it. God cared that much about Israel staying clean and being pure. Today in Matthew 8, we're going to talk about a man that was really sick and had been declared unclean. It was a man that had leprosy. Leprosy was an incurable disease that forced people to lose their entire life and become homeless. Today, we have such a blessing of having hospitals and doctors and x-ray machines and medicine and just so many things that we could do when we get sick. But that wasn't the case in Jesus' time. There weren't really hospitals. Doctors didn't know nearly as much as they know today. And if you got sick, a lot of times that you just died. But not only that, but if you got sick, sometimes you would be kicked out of your house, you would be kicked out of the city, and you would have to go live in the dirt outside of the city. And this was done because God demanded that his nation be clean, physically and spiritually, if they were to be in his presence. We've talked about that a lot in the last couple weeks in the Sermon on the Mount. If you want to be near God, you have to be perfect. God demands perfection in his presence. And as we go through today's sermon, it's really easy for us to just talk about a sick man and think, oh yeah, he goes to a hospital. Like, just think of all the things that we can do today. But if you guys are taking notes, I would encourage you guys to write this down. When you read the Bible, I need to know what did they think when this was originally written? Not what does this mean to me, but what would this mean to Jesus? What would this mean to someone 2,000 years ago as they were hearing Jesus speak that? That's just something really important as we read our Bible that we need to be thinking about every day. And what Jesus does here in Matthew 8 isn't just helping a dirty man take a bath. This is Jesus recognizing that this man is saved and giving him a second shot at life. When this man woke up this morning, he had no future. He had no life. And when he goes back to bed, he has a second chance at life. He gets to spend time with his family, with his friends. He gets to go back to church. He gets to go back to work. There are so many things that he gets to do because he met Jesus and Jesus made him clean. But it's not that Jesus made him clean. It's that this man, this leper, got to meet the creator of the entire universe. And he got to meet the person who's the only one that can clean him outside and clean him internally. And I would just encourage you guys to think about this as we go through our sermon today. What does this leper do when he sees Jesus? What does this leper do when he sees Jesus? And the answer is, I'll tell you right now, he does exactly what Jesus wants. He bows before God and he asks to be made clean. That's going to be our big idea for today. Bow before Jesus and ask to be cleaned. Bow before Jesus and ask to be cleaned. Jesus doesn't want our good works. He doesn't want our money. He doesn't want anything. He just wants us to admit that we need him. I'm going to open us in prayer, and then I'm going to hop in and just we'll read Matthew 8, 1 through 4. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for today. Just thank you that we can be here, your church, with your people, having fun, talking about you. Father, I pray that you would open our eyes and open our hearts, and I pray that we would see how similar we are to this leper. It's not modern medicine. It's not a bunch of money. It's not societal status that makes us right with you. It's having a pure heart. That is the only thing you desire. I pray that you would show that to us today, and I pray that we would love you and love others. Your name, amen. Let's start here in Matthew chapter 8, verse 1. Now when Jesus came down from the mountain, large crowds followed him. And behold, a leper came to him and was bowing down before him and said, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. And immediately the leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said to him, see that you tell no one, but go, show yourself to the priests, and present the offering that Moses commanded as a testimony to him. And our first point today, in verses 1 through 2, is going to be externally unclean and internally clean. Externally unclean and internally clean. We're going to talk about how this is a guy that was really dirty on the outside. His body was dirty, but inwardly, his heart loved God. And we're starting here that Jesus has just finished the greatest sermon ever preached. We've spent the last couple months talking about it. It's called the Sermon on the Mount. What would you do if you just had a really hard day of work? I don't know about you. I'd probably want to take a nap. I'd want to get a meal. I'd want to just spend the rest of the day relaxing. And we would expect that same thing of Jesus. But as we come to verse 1, what does it say? Large crowds followed him. That's a bunch of people just wanted to be around Jesus. That probably means hundreds, thousands, maybe even tens of thousands of people were swarming to hear more of what Jesus had to say. What would you want to do if tens of thousands of people were just trying to swarm you when you were tired at the end of the day? I'd want to run away. And Jesus doesn't run away. He doesn't tell the people to leave. He loves them and he cares for them. And during the Sermon on the Mount, like we mentioned a bunch of times, Matthew 6, verse 8, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. We said that God loves you so much that he is perfectly helping you before you even ask for help. And now we get to see that lived out here in Matthew 8, verses 1 through 4. Jesus is loving people and he's loving the crowd when he's tired before they even ask for help. Jesus is tired from hiking and preaching, but he doesn't tell the people to leave him alone. He's constantly looking for ways to help those people around him. And as we come to verse 2, we see a man who needs more help than any human could ever give. And verse 2 starts with, and behold, a leper came to him. And I want to just take a couple minutes and talk about leprosy. That leprosy is probably not something you've ever thought about or something you've rarely heard. If you guys can, keep a finger in Matthew 8, and let's go all the way to the beginning of our Bibles, and we're going to go to Leviticus 13. Let's do Leviticus 13, 26. If you guys don't know where that is, it's the third book in your Bible. It's Matthew, not Matthew, that's the New Testament, Adam. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. And we're going to be in Leviticus 13, verse 26. Like we said before, in Jesus' day, there weren't massive hospitals with doctors and x-ray machines, so a person often died when they got sick. But while Jesus cared about Israel's physical health, he wants the people to know even more that only perfection can be in the presence of God. And we've been talking about that on the Sermon on the Mount. Israel couldn't have unconfessed sin, and because they sinned, they had to offer sacrifices daily. That's some innocent animal had to die because of Israel's sin. And then God gave Israel hundreds of commands. He actually gave them over 600 commands in the Old Testament. And if Israel wanted to be with God, they had to keep all of those commands perfectly. And if they messed up one of those commands, sometimes they died because of that. Like we won't go there today, but there are stories in the Old Testament of people saying, I don't want to do what God says. I'm just going to come to him how I want. And God takes their life because of that. Only perfection could be in God's presence. But God is going to tell Israel of what that perfection is. And so he gives them the book of Leviticus. The entire book of Leviticus is describing that God is perfect and what Israel needs to do if they want to be perfect and to be near God. And every single time that they messed up, they had to offer a sacrifice. And so Leviticus explains a bunch of things. It explains what type of sacrifices have to be offered. It has to explain the men who have to offer those sacrifices, named priests. I don't know if you guys knew this, but a priest had to train for 20 years before he was able to offer one sacrifice. Like, could you imagine that? That, hey, I know I wanted to fly for the Navy. That's a really hard job. They would give you 3 or 4 years of training and then say, you've done enough. Go start doing your job. But to be a priest, you had to train for 20 years. That's longer than any of you guys have been alive. And then the Lord, through the book of Leviticus, is walking them through every detail of that sacrifice, and then not just what the priests have to do, but what the entire nation of Israel has to do if they want to be near God. And as we come to Leviticus 13 and 14, God is talking about any person who has a skin disease, whether that be warts, a burn, boils, cuts, infections, and just generally all of that was called leprosy, with the worst of it being actual leprosy. Leprosy just was a disease that made it so that you couldn't feel things. Just imagine that if you had no feelings anywhere in your body, that like if you touch your hand, you don't feel it. But that got really bad because if you couldn't feel something, if you got cut, if you got burned, or if your skin got messed up, you wouldn't know it, and your skin would just keep getting worse and worse, or an infection or something could happen, and you would get really sick. And then God was also worried that that sickness would get passed around to other people. And then really quickly, all of Israel would be sick. Let's read Leviticus 13, verses 26 through 28. And we're just going to see a portion of how God helped priests identify just what is healthy skin and what is skin that has leprosy. Leviticus 13, 26. If a priest looks at the skin, and behold, there is no white hair in the bright spot, and there is it is no deeper in the skin, but it is faded, then the priest shall isolate him for 7 days. And the priest shall look at him on the seventh day. If it spreads farther into the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is an infection of leprosy. But if the bright spot remains in its place and is not spread to the skin, but is faded, it is swelling from the burn, and the priest shall pronounce him clean, for it is only a scar. There's literally chapters of that God is just telling the priest, this is how you need to be able just to look at skin. Is this person healthy, or do you just need to give this person a little bit of time, or do you need to just get him away from the entire nation? And in those verses, we said there are three things that a priest could do. They could isolate and give a person a little bit more time. They could pronounce that person clean and healthy, and they could go around with their life. Or they could declare that person unclean. And if they were declared unclean, they had to move away from everybody. But not just a person could be declared unclean. You could have pieces of clothing. You could have pieces of food. You could have an entire house be declared unclean. That Leviticus 14 talks about if there's an infection in a house, like literally in the walls, that a priest goes and looks at it, and he's going to come back 7 days later. And if it's still there 7 days later, the entire house is going to get torn down. Could you guys imagine that? That you guys go home today and someone tells you, your house is dirty, we're going to tear down your entire house and you have to go find somewhere else to live. That's hard. But that's how seriously God took cleanliness and those who were in his presence being perfect. And if you guys look just a little bit further in Leviticus 13, we'll summarize here verses 45 and 46. And this is what happens if a person was confirmed to have leprosy. Verse 45, "As for the leper who has the infection, his clothes shall be torn, and the hair on his head shall be uncovered. He shall cover his mustache and call out, 'Unclean, unclean.' And he shall remain unclean all the days which he has the infection. He is unclean. He shall live alone, and the place of his habitation shall be outside the camp." If you guys want, you guys can turn back to Matthew 8 now. But as you're turning there, just what does God say that a leper has to do? Well, he has to tear his clothes. And we care about this today, but specifically in Israel, people looked at how you dressed. And if you were wearing clean clothes, people thought that that was good. But if you were wearing clothes that were dirty and torn, people looked at you and they thought that you weren't a good person. Today, we might like to wear hats or maybe a beanie, but back in Jesus' time, every respectable man and woman wore something on their head, whether that just be a cover or a hood. And so a man who couldn't wear anything on his head was someone who was derided and just someone who wasn't looked kindly upon. And can you imagine having any time someone got within 50 yards of you, having to yell at the top of your lungs, "Unclean, unclean"? Like, God wanted everyone to know that this was a sick person and you should have nothing to do with that. And then if that wasn't bad enough, they couldn't live in their house. They couldn't live out on their sidewalk. They had to go outside the city and they had to live in the dirt. That's how hard of a life a leper had. It ruined your entire life. And these rules may seem harsh, but God is doing this to both protect and teach Israel. He wants to keep them safe and not let an infectious disease spread throughout the city, so he has them isolate this person and keep them safe. But he also does this to show Israel that only perfection can be in his sight. And so, just as we've learned a little bit about leprosy, that this guy had a hard life. He didn't have a home. He didn't really have a family. He didn't have friends. He didn't have any money. What would you expect this man to do when he sees Jesus? Would you expect him to be happy and thankful, or would you expect him to be angry and bitter and to yell at God? I would expect in this situation that Jesus, at the end of a really hard day, would want nothing to do with this man. And I would expect that this man would be so angry, he's just angry at the entire world, and he just yells at Jesus. But that's not what we see. While this passage doesn't explicitly tell us that this leper is saved, I want you guys to know that I think this man was saved because he does multiple things that only a believer can do. Let's look at verse 2 here, and we'll just go through some of the things that this leper does. First, this leper comes confidently to Jesus. Think about that. This is a man that should have no confidence. He doesn't have a family. He looks disgusting. He probably hasn't taken a shower. And he has to tell everyone, "Unclean, unclean," anytime someone comes near him. And yet this is a man that comes confidently to Jesus. There's no shyness. He just wants to come to Jesus and he wants to see Jesus. But as he comes up to Jesus, it's not, "Jesus, I want. Jesus, I need. Jesus, do all these things for me." What does verse 2 then say? It says, he was bowing down. In the original language, this is the same word for worship. This leper didn't want to come to Jesus and say, "Jesus, I have 16 things I need you to do for me." He comes to Jesus and he just wants to worship him. He wants to acknowledge that Jesus is God of the entire universe, is the one who created the world, and he just wants to worship Jesus. And I want you guys to know that that's true saving faith. We talked about this on the Sermon on the Mount. If you are a believer, on your worst day, you're still going to have a desire to worship Jesus. It's not going to be perfection, but you're going to be continually pointing in the right direction. And in that direction is Jesus. This leper had more to ask, and he had more needs than any single person in this room has. If you guys have parents, if you guys slept in a bed last night, if you guys ate this morning, if you guys have parents that have a job, if you guys are able to live in a city and not having to live out on the side of a hill, you have it better than this leper had. He had more to ask of Jesus than any person. And yet he doesn't come asking of Jesus. He just wants to worship him. And what does that worship look like? If we continue on in verse 2, Lord, if you are willing, make me clean. So the use of the word Lord, like that is the word that is used to acknowledge that Jesus is God over the entire universe. When he's saying Lord, he is recognizing Jesus not just as a good man, not just as the carpenter, not just as a good teacher. He's recognizing him as God of the entire world. And then just look at what he says. If you are willing. He doesn't say, Jesus, I don't know if you can do this. Jesus, I don't know if you care enough about it. He just recognizes, Jesus, there's no reason you should do this. You don't owe this to me. But yet, I want to come ask. In this is true humility. This man openly recognizes his place before God because he couldn't get any worse. He couldn't get any lower in society. But he openly admits that while thousands of people look at him with disgust. I know that for some people that are kind of shy, it can be kind of embarrassing coming up here and playing a game on Sunday morning or Wednesday night. Could you imagine being in SoFi Stadium and there's 100,000 people around you and you're down on the field and you had to do something embarrassing? Could you imagine what it would be like with all those people looking at you? This is as close, that's as close as you could get to what this leper was going through. There were hundreds, if not thousands of people, and he was a man to be made fun of and thrown away. And yet he says, I don't care about any of that. I just want to come and worship Jesus. He didn't try to make an excuse or be something he wasn't. He simply told God that he would joyfully obey if God chose not to heal them. I want you guys to just focus on that last part a little bit. The man doesn't demand that Jesus heals him. And he even says, Lord, if you are willing. And the inference of that is, Lord, if you don't heal me, I'm still going to be thankful. Lord, if you don't solve my problems, Lord, if you don't heal me, I'm still going to love you and I'm still going to worship you and I still want to live for you. That is humility, coming to God with boldness, but when you get to God's feet, just throwing yourself down and saying, Lord, I only want to worship you. In this is exactly what Jesus wants. He wants the person who has lost literally everything to come before him and just worship him. Question for you guys. Does that describe your heart? On your best day, on your worst day, is that what you want to do? Do you just want to come to Jesus and worship him? And for all the junior hires, that's most of us here, pay attention just real quick. I want you guys to hear something. No matter how good you think you are, I want you to know that before Jesus, you're as disgusting and wicked as this leper was. You're no better than him. I'm not any better. No one in here, no one in this church, no one in this world is better than this leper. As the world saw a wicked and disgusting man, that's what Jesus sees. Every single person who comes to him. But Jesus looked at this man and said, he had faith. He wants wicked and disgusting people to come to him and repent of their sins, and he wants to freely forgive. Because that's what he does. And we see that in our next point, in verses 3 and 4, externally clean. That this man was externally unclean, but internally clean. And what does Jesus do? He makes him externally clean. We see that in verse 3. What does Jesus say? I am willing. Be cleansed. Not only could Jesus help the leper, he wanted to help the leper. This is the love of Jesus. Jesus is praised when his children ask him for help, and his answer is always, I am willing. I want you guys to hear that again. Jesus is praised when his children come to him ask for help, and his answer is always, I am willing. I know this week, guys, there's just been a lot of things that I have to do. I've talked about before that I'm now in seminary. I have a bunch of classes. I have to prepare sermons. There's other things that I have to do. And multiple times this week, I came to Jesus in prayer and said, Jesus, I just don't know how I'm going to get everything done. I don't know what to do first, and I just need help, Lord. And I want you guys to know that every single time I've said that prayer, every single time, the Lord has been faithful to help. He might not necessarily take away my work. I still have the work there, but he always gives help every single time after I pray. The Lord makes it clear. He helps me understand what's in my Bible and helps me put together my sermon. He helps me understand what I have to do for class. He helps me understand just how to love those around me. And he gives wisdom and he tells me what to do when I didn't previously know. That's what Jesus wants to do for every single person who calls out to him. And that's what Jesus does for this leper. And we see that just in that last little section that we were talking about. I am willing, be cleansed. When Jesus said that, he did a miracle. He healed the leper's disease. You guys don't have to, but if you guys were to go and read the entire book of Leviticus, there's no place in there that talks about, hey, when Jesus miraculously heals a leper, this is what a priest does. It's not in there. But Jesus does a miracle, and he instantly heals the leper. I don't know if you guys have ever had a cut or a scar or something on your skin. I think of poison oak. I am super allergic to poison oak. And I remember when I was in junior high, I got it once on my arm, and my arm swelled up super big. It turned purple. It was horrible. And it took about a week for the poison oak to go away. But then it took about another month for new skin to grow and for everything to be healed. That's not what's happening here. It's taking months and months for this man to be healed. When Jesus says be cleansed, it's instant. It just happens right then. And then Jesus talks to this man. Notice he's just a man now. He's not a leper. He doesn't have leprosy. And Jesus talks to him, and he then tells this man to go to the priests and show them that he was clean. Can you imagine like what a priest would think if a man that you knew to have leprosy walked in and was just immediately clean? That, hey, I know this takes months of healing for someone to be cured, and he was sick yesterday, and he's clean today. He's without any sickness. Could you imagine that? And going to see the priests is a process that takes a bunch of time. Once again, it's in the book of Leviticus. If you want some reading while you fall asleep, start in Leviticus. It's great. But this is a process that takes a couple weeks. And the man and the priests would have to offer multiple sacrifices. The priests would have to examine his skin to make sure that his skin showed no signs of leprosy. During that time, this man was actually allowed back inside the city so he could go back. He could go back to the city, but he couldn't go sleep inside his house. So he would have to sleep outside his house. And then after a couple weeks, when the priests had looked at him, had confirmed that he was clean, had offered all the sacrifices, then he was able to go back and he was able just to sleep and live in his own house. I don't know if you guys have ever taken a long trip and how great it feels to come home and sleep in your own bed. Of just, hey, I see some nods here. Yeah, you guys get it. Just to take a shower in your own shower and just to sleep in your own bed. How great that is. How much more do you think this man felt going back to his own home? That he had lost his job, his family, his church, his friends. He had lost everything. And Jesus just gave it back to him. This man was the man that Israel wanted nothing to do with. He was unclean and he had been cast out. But I want you guys to get this. He is the perfect picture of what worshiping the Lord looks like that we just learned about in the Sermon on the Mount. Can you imagine that? Jesus just preached the best sermon in the entire world. And who is the one that we see being the perfect example of that? It's not his disciples. It's not the Roman emperor. It's not the religious elite. It's not the priests, the Pharisees, or the Sadducees. Jesus chooses to use the man that no one loved and no one wanted to be around. And he says, this is the perfect example of what I want. There's everyone on the wide path. This is the one man following me on the narrow path. This is the man that I want, and this is the man that I'm glorified by. And what defined that man? It was the desire to worship the Lord and be thankful. This leper realized that while Jesus owed him nothing, he owed Jesus everything. I'm going to say that once more. That this man realized that while Jesus owed him nothing, he owed Jesus everything. He wasn't worried about his sickness. He wasn't worried about getting his job or his house back. He was just worried about worshiping Jesus. He didn't care if others were out there making fun of him. He didn't care how many thousands of people he had to push back through and how many thousands of people made fun of him. He just wanted to worship Jesus. He just came before Jesus and bowed down and asked to be cleansed. At the start of the sermon, I started with, what did this leper do when he saw Jesus? And I want to just ask you guys a similar question. What do you do when you see Jesus? Now, I get that Jesus is not standing right here and you physically see him, but every single time you talk about the Bible with your family, every time you pray, every time you come to church, every single time you read your Bible, you are in that way seeing Jesus because you're seeing who Jesus is and what he's done in the Bible. And what do you do when you see Jesus? This leper wasn't worried about what he wanted, what he needed. He just wanted to come to Jesus and offer worship. If you guys just look back over your past week, when you've seen Jesus, what have you done? Have you thought, I got maybe about 15 seconds to think about this, and then I'm going to go watch whatever's on TV, or I'm too cool for Jesus, or Jesus is something that I do on Wednesday nights and Sunday mornings. Or when you see Jesus, is that the best part of your life? Do you say that there's nothing more important for you than worshiping Jesus? And if you are that person, I want you guys to be encouraged that that's a really good sign that God is your Father, that you're saved. And I want you guys to know that if you think you're too cool for Jesus, if you think that you're better than this leper and you'll just come to see Jesus some later day, that's a really good sign that you're not saved. And you need Jesus right now. You need him just as much as this leper needed him. So guys, I would just encourage you guys to think about that. What do you do when you see Jesus? We'll go back to our big idea. What does Jesus want? He just wants you to bow down and ask to be cleaned. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you so much that we could come to you today. Father, just thank you for saving us. Thank you for giving us scripture, that we can see stories like this in Matthew 8 of men that the world wanted nothing to do with. And you look throughout the crowds and you say, that is my child. This is the one who pleases me. Father, I pray, help us to have humble hearts. It's really easy just to sit here in church and just to not pay attention or even to say, okay, this is good. But then for us to actually live that throughout the week is so hard. I pray, Father, encourage us, help keep us pointed to you, help us remember that you don't expect perfection, you just want us to be pointed in the right direction. In your name, amen.